Thanks for spending 10 minutes of your Wednesday with CNN Student News. I'm Carl Azus at the CNN Center. There are more than 1,000 U.S. troops in West Africa helping prevent the spread of Ebola. Thousands more are set to deploy. For some in the Army, there's a mandatory 21-day quarantine when they return to their base in Italy. But for civilians who've traveled to the U.S. from Ebola-stricken areas, that's up for debate. The U.S. government has revised its guidelines a couple times now. Some criticize it for overreacting to the Ebola threat. Some call CDC's guidelines too confusing. Some criticize it for not doing enough to protect Americans. But here's the thing. The CDC doesn't have the authority to enforce its guidelines. States do. And a few have added their own regarding who gets quarantined and when. It's not illegal. The Constitution allows states to impose stricter health regulations than the federal government. But they can be challenged.
San Francisco's Chinatown was giving a year-long quarantine order after a suspected case of the bubonic plague in the early 1900s. This black-and-white video shows men, most likely the health department committee, checking for disease. And then there's Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the late 1800s. This startling historic illustration shows how a smallpox outbreak forces people into isolation hospitals.
Perhaps America's most famous quarantine happened right behind me on Ellis Island. 12 million people were processed. More than 2 million would be hospitalized or quarantined.
CNN's review of quarantine and isolation statutes across the country reveals that all 50 states have the power to isolate and quarantine. At least five states specifically detail their power to treat the sick involuntarily. At least four states mean business. Violating the order is a felony. Wisconsin could have the stiffest fine, $10,000. Mississippi, the longest jail sentence, 5 years. The Centers for Disease Control is not recommending mandatory quarantines for everyone traveling from West Africa.
Deeply concerned about the Ebola situation.
But a pen stroke could change that if President Obama exercises his executive power, allowing federal authorities to detain and medically examine people traveling between states or entering the country.
What prevents the government from overstepping its powers?
Whenever a citizen is incarcerated or confined, you can go into court and say to a judge, I've been locked up without good cause and I want a hearing on the issue.
So, are fears about Ebola well-founded? Also up for debate. The World Health Organization says there have been more than 10,000 suspected cases of Ebola in this year's outbreak. It's the worst in recorded history. The CDC says on average, 36,000 people in the U.S. die from the flu every year. Still, one difference is that people are far more likely to survive the flu.
It does not spur debates about whether you'll be infected while flying or make doctors don hazmat suits or cause local governments to impose quarantines. But between 5 and 20% of the U.S. population between now and February will likely come down with the flu. And although most people will suffer only fever, aches, or chills, for the very young, the very old, or those who are already sick, the flu can be fatal.
Your defenses are weakened by the flu virus, and a bacteria can come in and set up shop in the lungs. So when that happens, you know, your lungs are compromised. You might have very bad cough. You might even become unable to breathe without assistance.
Unlike Ebola, which is hard to get, the flu is easily transmitted by casual contact on public transit and restaurants at any public event. And flu pandemics have ravaged the world. In 1918, the Spanish flu killed an estimated 30 to 50 million people, perhaps many millions more. Still, less than half of the U.S. population receives a flu shot. So the CDC says in any given year, 200,000 people will get a severe case of the flu, so severe they'll wind up in the hospital.